Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the 10th of April, 2024. Happy Wednesday to you. I am Derek Hunter. This is the Derek Hunter Show. Man, we got an action-packed program for you today. But first, let me tell you about patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast or DerekHunter.locals.com. That's where you go to enter the contest, support the show, listen to extra content, all that good stuff. Get your messages out there and get them to me, patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast or DerekHunter.locals.com. Support the show. $5 a month is all we ask. And this week you can win another autographed book from Governor Ron DeSantis. That's right. I had two. And now there's a second one up for grabs. Check it out and support the show. Alleviate all the guilt you undoubtedly feel for getting such high-quality content for the low, low cost of nothing. Thank you. And now let's get started. Before we get to the news of the day, just a quick eclipse. Couple of notes about the eclipse. I did watch it. I was out mowing the yard, and I noticed it was starting to get a little darker-ish, but not really. It was also very cloudy, so I was like, oh, whatever. And then I saw the kids come running out, and the wife come running out, and then the neighborhood kids gathering together, and they'd let the schools out early because, oh, you wouldn't want the kids to go home. It's mostly a liability thing. The schools didn't want to be responsible for the dumb kids who stare at the eclipse going blind. So they said, all right, everybody go home, and then we'll do it that way. We wouldn't want to send kids home in the dark. It never got that dark. It didn't. The darkest it got was with clouds. And that was just how it was all day. Now, we weren't total eclipse, so we were something like 89% or something like that. So I stopped, get off the mower, and I go down there. It takes about an hour and a half to mow my backyard. So it's like nice and peaceful. I'm listening to my William Randolph Hearst book, and then I see everybody getting excited. So I go, I decided to suppress my natural cynical nature and get off my butt and go down and look at and put the glasses on, and you could see. And it was weird because I didn't know it had really even started completely or how far it was. And then you put the glasses on, and there's like a tiny little sliver of sun. I'm like, what the hell? The sun throws so much light that it was barely noticeable from a light perspective. There was about 2 minutes where it got a little bit darker, and then the clouds went across, and then it was completely. Not completely dark. It was still daytime. But, yeah, it was fine. Made sure that nobody looked up at this. The girls were, okay, that's neat. And then they went back to chalking with the other girls in the neighborhood. Right. So just had to stand there and mostly stare at them to make sure they didn't look up at the sun. And then it was over. I went back to mowing the lawn. And there's that. But, yeah, it was nuts. I've got some audio coming up of that mentions the eclipse from The View. The ladies at The View are, it's terrifying that they have influence over any other human being on the face of the earth. It truly is terrifying. But yeah, the eclipse was a non-event. My sister went to Toledo and from Detroit and saw it, apparently. I didn't talk. She told me beforehand. I don't think I was sufficiently excited about it enough for her to follow up with photographs or anything, because you can't tell squat. Maybe you can see it. Maybe it blocked out. But the camera, the footage that you see in the news of it's getting dark and, oh, my goodness, everybody just disappeared. It got so dark. I think that's mostly filters. You can set camera lenses to get this because it just doesn't get that dark. Anyway, we didn't manage to turn to cannibals or think that the world was coming to an end or anything like that. I hope your eclipse day was good and your retinas are intact. Now let's get on with the news. I looked up on social media last night and I see this clip of Rachel Maddow. And she's talking about student loan forgiveness. Now, it's very weird to hear somebody who makes $30 million a year to work one day a week. And, well, probably she still gets vacation time, too. She probably gets like a month off, which is just bizarre. That whole one-day work week is really going to wear you out. But she is defending student loan forgiveness. It's not student loan forgiveness. It is loan transfers. It is burden transfers. It's what it is. Make no mistake about it. It is taking somebody else's loans and throwing them on people who didn't take them out. Now, keep in mind, Rachel Maddow is considered one of the intellectual leaders of the new left. She is. But if you watch her, I challenge you. This is something you don't have to wait for her show to be on. You don't have to wait for a Monday to come. Find a clip of her on social media, whatever social media it is, it doesn't matter. They post videos of her all over, her show does. Watch an entire 2 or 3 minute clip of her on mute. Watch it. And you will see a Muppet. You will see the mannerisms of a Muppet. The looking up and the shaking of the head back and forth, and your inner monologue will be like, whoa! That's what she is. She mugs for the camera. It's half of what she does. It, in place of an argument, you can do that. In place of facts, you can do that. You can make statements. You don't see, this is the beauty of this too. It's a way to avoid directly detectable lying. Not always. She usually does lie, but it is a way to convey information that is not false. We all have nonverbal cues, nonverbal communication, a little side eye, a little roll of the eyes, a little kind of thing. You don't have to say anything, and everybody you're making eye contact with at the moment knows exactly what you're doing, what you're conveying. That's what she does. She does it throughout her entire show. She does it throughout her entire conspiracy monologues. And so what she conveys oftentimes isn't on the page. It's brilliant, actually, because she gets to say that she didn't say these things. She gets to claim that she didn't put it that way. You know, oh, she's still out there talking about the Russia hoax. No, I didn't say that. Check the transcript. Well, you know exactly what that wink and blink was about. But she didn't vocalize it. She didn't verbalize it. Plausible deniability. She's nailing Jell-O to a wall. But make no mistake about it. She is conveying lies to her audience. She's doing so deliberately. And it works. She has found a niche audience that wants to be lied to. She has found people who wear spandex who desperately want to be told they look good in it. They don't look good. There's like 5% of the population who look good in spandex, if that. Nobody else does. Don't even get the thought out of your head. Forget about it. And she plays this little game of mugging, and I didn't really say that, and that's why she doesn't have to go back and correct the record when something is proven false. She didn't really say it. She just implied the ever-loving hell out of it. They give the impression of something. Now, it's weird because they're very concerned about context when it's a Republican speaking, and subtext and the implications of what was said and what have you. But not so much when it comes to them. In fact, not at all when it comes to them. But I challenge you. Watch a couple of minutes of Rachel Maddow on YouTube. You can find it wherever. Unmute. And you will see Beaker. You will see Kermit the Frog. When Kermit the Frog just, she doesn't pull the arms up, but she does the neck thing and the looking up thing and the side to side thing. That's how it works. It is a show. I don't know if she's playing a character or not, but she is smart enough, or her handlers are smart enough, to make sure that she doesn't break character and she doesn't let her audience in on the joke that they're the punchline of. But that's what's going on, as evidenced by what she said on Monday's show, talking about the student loan plan. You would not know that these people took out these loans voluntarily. You would not know that this was a conscious choice made by adults. If you make it to the age of 18 without understanding what the concept of a loan is and what it means, you have led a very bizarre life that either involved long stretches in a bunker with no human contact and no access to popular culture, or you were on a desert island for an exceedingly long period of time before just getting back. Yet even then, I suspect, before you signed a piece of paper, you would ask for a little bit of an explanation as to what it was about. Right? Wouldn't you? But that's not how it works with good old Rachel Maddow. She is talking to a group of people who are going to be saddled with every penny of the debt that Joe Biden is out there, quote unquote, forgiving. And she's making it seem as though it's just screwing over banks, as if that were okay, as if that were somehow cool. But it's really screwing over everybody else. These loans, this money is not being, it's not disappearing. It's not wiping it out. It's like, poof, it's gone. It never happened. It's being added to the national debt. The federal government is assuming it. That means that you are paying it. That means I am paying it. That means we are all paying it. But that's a little too nuanced and, frankly, honest for Rachel Maddow to talk about. So instead, you get this.
The substance is straightforward and important. The politics are straightforward and important for President Biden. But just as important are the politics on the other side. Republicans already sued and successfully blocked one of President Biden's plans for forgiving student loans. After President Biden pivoted to use a different program to forgive more student loans, Republicans sued to stop that one, too. Now President Biden has announced this latest plan today in Wisconsin. And so new Republican lawsuits against that one are expected any minute as well. And just think about what that means. Just like step back from that for a second. Republicans are suing over and over again in multiple states. Republicans are suing to make sure that Americans have to pay more in student loans, to make sure that you have to pay more interest to banks on your student loans. That is what they are offering America in this election year. Isn't that what America most needs? For banks to make more money off people who took out loans to go to college? Isn't that really, you know, morally, isn't that a real justice issue for America?
Of course, nothing in there is remotely true. Nothing in there conveys the entirety of the situation. Oh, they just want to make sure we're taking for bank. No, nobody made you take a pay more in student loans. They're not voting to raise interest rates. They are voting, they are suing to make sure that people honor the contracts that they sign. I promise you, if MSNBC violated Rachel Maddow's contract, she would sue the hell out of them because she has a ton of money tied up in that. She wants that money. She feels entitled to that money. MSNBC has agreed to pay her that money. Just like those students have agreed to pay the money they borrowed to go to college. And now they don't want to. It has nothing to do with banks, thanks to the Obamacare bill. It also federalized the student loan program. So it's the federal government. It's we, the taxpayer, really own the note on these things. But she's not going to bother to tell you that it's not these stopping these dastardly banks from charging more interest rates. No, it is you taking on the bills for somebody else. It's like, hey, I want a bigger house, but I can't afford a bigger house. But if I go and buy a bigger house anyway, you can go ahead and make up the difference of what I can afford. And oh, by the way, I'm going to pay a little bit less than I can afford. And, eh, you know what? Actually, I'm not going to pay anything. Why don't you pay it all? Do you get to live in my house if you come over, if you're in the air? No, you do not. You just get the pleasure of paying for it. But Rachel Maddow understands what she has to do. She has her orders. She would have made an excellent Nazi. In fact, she does. She's got the haircut for it and everything. She's out there spewing these lies to her audience. She gets an audience of 2.5-3 million people. They all tune in. They gather around the TV on that Monday when she works. That one day. Could you imagine being a middle-class person or a poor person sitting around going, I've got to, finally, we're going to get some truth. Let's all gather around to somebody who gets paid $30 million a year to work one day a week so that they can lecture you about how you have to take on the student loan debt of somebody who took a loan out to go to graduate school who's making six figures right now. And you sit there and you go, this is wonderful. This is great. You're sticking it to the man, all because she mugs a little bit for the camera and she talks about how it's really just screwing over banks. Why do these Republicans want to defend banks? If that were true, Rachel, just imagine a world where banks collapsed. Imagine a world where you could just walk away from contracts you signed. I realize that being a progressive means that your word is worthless, means absolutely nothing, and nobody should take you seriously. But the rest of society functions in a way that people's words and contracts being enforceable are pretty damned important when it comes to holding together the fabric of society. You don't mean anything you say. But you are also insulated from the consequences of that by that $30 million you get per year, plus whatever else money you got, speaking fees, you got book fees. She's probably raking in somewhere around $35 to $50 million a year with royalties from her documentaries. I mean, she is doing quite well. There is no way, and it's all cash. So there's no real way to hurt her. She doesn't feel inflation. Oh, my goodness, food prices have tripled. Oh, really? I wasn't able to blow through the money I was making before, so it doesn't really matter to me. They're going to have to go up probably 50-60-fold before I might even notice. But in that way, I'd notice the people starving on the street. I noticed that Rachel Maddow isn't interested in adopting 1,000 students and paying off their student loans. She's very interested in you being forced to adopt it, being forced to do it. As tax day approaches, I promise you that Rachel Maddow's accountant is not instructed to just take zero deductions and pay whatever it is and throw a little bit on top of that. In fact, I feel guilty that I'm keeping even this much. Give the government a third. I promise you. That. She won't talk about what she pays. She'll talk about what you should pay. She'll talk about what everybody else should pay. And she will talk endlessly about what Donald Trump does pay and what people like Donald Trump should pay. The one thing Donald Trump has going for him is he's wildly honest. He'll sit there and tell you, I try to pay as little as possible in taxes. All these other Democrats do the exact same thing. They just preached that people like them should be paying more in taxes. Nobody does it voluntarily. There is literally, I think it's pay.gov, a website where anybody who is saddled with guilt about how much money they've earned can go and cut a check to the IRS. And they will get a nice little thank you note or a receipt or whatever, but they don't. Oftentimes, in fact, when Democrats do, quote unquote, overpay their taxes, they do it in such a way. Look, if you can do it. You can cut a $10,000 check to the government right now or $10,000 extra in your taxes. And you can go around to your cocktail parties and talk about how you are so progressive and you're preening in front of your neighbors about how wonderful you are. But then the next year, you just write that off of what you owe. That's kind of how it works. You've prepaid next year's taxes. You didn't overpay taxes. There is so much that people, particularly Democrats, congratulate themselves for doing. That is not what they proclaim it to be. Most of what you see on cable news is that way. What Rachel Maddow just described there is not at all what's going on with the student loan program. Nothing. It also doesn't mention anything about the government's involvement in higher education, leading to tuition, increasing at a rate that is the highest sector, the highest inflated sector of the economy by a lot. It's not even close. People will sit there and whine and piss and moan about the cost of health care, and sure, I get that. I understand that. But they got nothing on college tuition costs. We're looking at some of the Ivy Leagues now charging $100,000 a year to attend. $100,000 a year to be indoctrinated. Come find me. I'll punch you in the face for 20 grand. We'll call it even. Right? I'll print up a nice certificate. It'll be embossed on golden paper and everything. It'll be wonderful. For an extra 5 grand, I'll kick you in the groin or push you down a flight of stairs if that's what you really want. I'll save you a ton of money. I'll be the Rachel Maddow of Republicanism, except I'll tell you the truth. Now that we've talked about or listened to Rachel Maddow, Beaker over there, Beaker the Tweaker at MSNBC, she really does. She just seems like she's on something. I guess if you just you work one day a week for $30 million, you're gonna throw your all into it, right? I mean, most of us have to work more days than just one, and for a lot less money than $30 million. So you sit there and you go, all right, I can spread out my, I got enough enthusiasm to do one really good day. I'll spread it out over the course of 5-6 days, and we'll see how it goes. Maintain your calm, slow and steady ties the race. Well, she's got to throw it all into one. Imagine 1 hour. It's not only just one day a week, it's 1 hour. And you got staff to write your mom. It was one of the biggest hoaxes ever perpetrated was the MSNBC promotional video. Remember when they used to try and make these people seem human? And there's Chris Hayes. He rides his bike across the Brooklyn Bridge to come in to do his show. And there he is with his little helmet on. And he uses his hand signals to turn. And it's just so wonderful and green. And then there was Rachel Maddow's little pseudo profile promotional thing where she's laying out note cards on the floor and she's constructing her show and there's nobody else in the room. And it's like, that's not how it works. MSNBC wouldn't employ like 25 people to work on her show if they did nothing. If, you know, a crazy lady with a bowl haircut, a long neck and construction paper put it all together. There's no reason to pay executive producers and line producers. And there's no reason to do that. Just come in right at the end. Film me. If you notice, Rachel Maddow doesn't really have guests unless it's like Hillary Clinton too. Isn't that weird? Or AOC. Yet they used to call Tucker a conspiracy theorist. They used to note how long Tucker's monologues were getting. Tucker's monologues would get pretty long for a TV show, but it's not uncommon if you know what you're talking about and you have something to say. It's not that difficult to speak for an hour, which is really 44 minutes if you factor in commercials. But you don't congratulate yourself for doing your job. Literally, it's the least anybody could do. It is one of the easiest jobs on the face of the earth. You go in there, you read the teleprompter. I guess the artistry of the host comes in when they pre-read the teleprompter so there are no words that surprise them. But then you get the people who think that I've been here. This ain't my first rodeo. I can do whatever I want. I'm an old hat at this, like Al Sharpton, who seemingly gets into a fist fight with the teleprompter every single time he's on there. Then again, when he's speaking off the cuff with no teleprompter, he seems to have difficulty with the language, so what do you know? But yes, Rachel Maddow lies to her audience on behalf of the Democratic Party. She does so to empower a progressive agenda. She does so to advance politics. It's funny to sit there and watch these people talk about the threat that Donald Trump presents, personifies, embodies. They can't articulate why or how. It's just that he's a I saw this clip of Michael Beschloss. He did his hair, seemingly he pulled a tube in and did his hair like the There's Something About Mary hairdo. It was up like that. And it is disturbing to watch this man, who I used to have some respect for. I was like, oh, he might have some historical insights. A presidential historian who opines about what will happen in the future does not understand the job title, right? That's just pointing. A historian is backwards looking. You're supposed to fill in the blanks looking backwards, not telling us what's going to happen. But he was talking about how it was that if Donald Trump gets in there again, he will not leave. And I thought it was odd because he said something along the lines of, he'll be there and he won't get away. Our children, our grandchildren, he'll be. And like, you don't understand how age works, dude. Somebody, everybody will die. There's a better than average chance that Joe Biden won't make it to the election simply because nature, and you watch the deterioration of a human being and you can kind of see what's coming down the line. You don't really see that with Donald Trump. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't. You know, there's always health issues. Any of us can go at any time. But the idea that this election, if we don't do this, oh, Donald Trump may never leave office. He may be in there for our children and our grandchildren, belies a biological reality. Of course, that's sort of the Democrat Party schtick now, isn't it? Biology's for suckers. Biology, it doesn't really even matter. Is it true anymore that man is pregnant, this pregnant person? I just found it really odd that literally everybody who is dependent on MSNBC for a paycheck has seemingly lost their damn mind. You do have to wonder, do these people mean it or are these people pandering? Honestly, knowing the people in media that I know, I wouldn't be surprised if it were either one of them. Most of them are not particularly bright, and even more of them would do or say anything to maintain their position. But at a certain point, does not the sense of dignity come into play? Be like an actress with a no nudity clause or really uncomfortable with nudity on a TV show, probably on HBO, where they come in and go, all right, well, this episode, you're nude throughout the whole thing. And you're like, do I do this or do I maintain the promise I made to myself? Which way do I go? Of course, they've all made their decisions. Their Beschloss is probably booked for the next 3 months already on Morning Joe. All right, speaking of Joe, let's go to the President of the United States on the student loan issue. Since all of these people are pearl clutchers about every little word that Donald Trump said, he said bloodbath, he's threatening violence, Since they are sticklers, they are dictionaries and thesauruses for every word that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth, I thought that they might be interested in a guy talking about the Supreme Court and how he's desperately trying to sidestep it. Somebody, I forget who it was last night, somebody on Fox was talking about how they've never seen a president defy the Supreme Court before. Well, there have been one. It was Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson in the 1820s, he wanted the Indians, Seminoles, I believe, out of Florida. Wanted them out. And so they'd been treaties, there'd been everything, they had their land, they were down there, but there was some mineral find or whatever it was. I'm sketchy on the details. It was a little bit before my time. And so Jackson sent down the army and was going to kick them out. This is where the Trail of Tears comes from. And, of course, Andrew Jackson, a good Democrat. Well, the Indians played by the rules. They made the mistake of assuming that Democrats were honest people with integrity. They sued, ultimately winning. The Supreme Court sided with the Indians, to which Andrew Jackson alleged to have responded, well, the Supreme Court has decided, now let them send their military down there to enforce it. Because he'd already rounded up the Indians and was marching them west. He wanted them out. He didn't give a damn what the Supreme Court had to say. He thought he'd win. When he didn't win, he said, well, let them enforce it. There is no enforcement mechanism. If the executive branch gives the middle finger to the Supreme Court and to a decision, and Congress isn't going to impeach and convict for a violation of oath of office, you have what is exactly a totalitarian regime. Now, it's crystallized in one particular act, but it is a dictatorial move. Jackson got away with it. Jackson, a slave owner, got away with it. He didn't care. He didn't care how many Indians died on the Trail of Tears. He didn't care that he'd ripped them out of their homes and violated treaties that were negotiated in good faith. He didn't care. He wanted his way, and he got it. And the Supreme Court said, no, they have the right to stay. But it was too late. They were gone. It was over. Joe Biden is doing the exact same thing. Another Democrat, he's doing the exact same thing on student loans. You would think that when a human being is defying a court order, they'd be a little bit more coy about it. But Joe Biden brags about it. Joe Biden unequivocally says, they said I couldn't do it. I'm finding other ways to do it. They said you couldn't do it. Now, Republicans are suing again, and it'll be interesting to see what ultimately becomes of this. But I will point out one thing. On the whole student loan discussion, there's no legislation. Democrats didn't even try to pass a bill. Democrats, I'm not even sure they actually drafted a bill. I think the closest they came to anything on paper was a memo that Elizabeth Warren wrote explaining to Joe Biden how he didn't need Congress, which is, again, a weird thing to do. These Democrats really make a lot of arguments about how they, Democrats in Congress, make a lot of arguments about how they're irrelevant. How the president can just bypass them willy-nilly and impose their will on the American people while chanting about our democracy, blah, blah, blah. Now, it's weird because all of those memos lose all of their meaning when there's a Republican president. And immediately, the lawyers fire up their engines and go out and sue everything. Every executive order that Donald Trump signed into being while being president of the United States had at least five different lawsuits across the country brought against it, seeking a stay and getting one by the time the ink dried on the executive order. Republicans don't have that kind of mechanism. It's sort of one of the biggest failings of the Republican Party is if you're going to fight people who are engaging in lawfare instead of warfare, then you damn well better be prepared to engage in lawfare. There should be the left is why there are five different lawsuits against the Trump administration on, say, the travel ban, not the Muslim ban. North Korea and Venezuela are not majority Muslim countries. Be surprised if there were two Muslims in all of North Korea. It had to do with countries where we could not vet the people from. But that's beside the point. The left never lets the truth stand in the way of a good story. But if you remember, the stay on the so-called Muslim ban came out of Hawaii. And you go, what the hell did Hawaii have to do with this? Why was there a national blocking by a federal judge or state judge in Hawaii? Well, because the Democrats filed lawsuits everywhere, waiting for the first one to bite. It's like throwing 15 different fishing lines in with 15 different types of bait into the water around your boat. Something's going to bite one of them. You don't know which one it's going to like, but something's going to bite one of them. That's all they cared about. It's the ultimate in perfectly legal corruption and judge shopping. There's no such mechanism on the right for this. Should be. They're going to play this game. We should play this game. We should also play the game of, yeah, that's a nice little injunction you've got there. We're not going to do anything about it. We don't care. We're going to plow forward. You can't build the wall. We got a judge in North Dakota that says you can't. We've got to do an environmental study, and we got to have 15 months of hearings. And blah. Okay, that's very interesting. We're going to keep building the wall over there. You have fun playing in court. We'll go to court, but we're not stopping. Well, but this judge said, yeah, no, I get it. I get it. But I'm elected, and that judge isn't. If you want to play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, Democrats. I don't recommend it. But then again, these are the games you chose. You want to go on a chicky run, Buzz. It's not going to work out very well for you. Your jacket sleeve gets caught in there. So here's the president of the United States literally bragging about defying the Supreme Court.
You can't afford to buy a home, start that small business, chase that career that you've been dreaming about for a long time. That's why early in my term, I announced a major plan to provide more than 40 million working and middle-class Americans student debt relief. Tens of millions. Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives past to reduce student debt payments that are not challengeable. And altogether, my administration is taking the most significant action to provide student debt relief ever in the history of this country.
Yay, congratulate all these people cheering. They probably are saddling you with student loan. Each clap is another $20 in taxes. And there's a lot of claps there. My favorite part of that is the justification he tries to give at the beginning, where he says, you know, you can't afford to buy a home. You can't do this. You can't chase that career you've been dreaming about for a long time. If you have a career that you've been dreaming about for a long time that you want to chase, that doesn't involve the college degree that you pursued whilst in college, and why the hell did you go to college? If you're chasing a career, what I really want to be is a roofer. Okay, then why are you going to medical school? I don't know. Why are you majoring in feminist theory dance? What are you doing? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm racking up $200,000 in debt when I could be pursuing job I wish I were pursuing now. Is that really an issue for people? Or I realize there are a lot of dumb people on this planet, but good Lord, is that an issue for anybody? As I realize, I got my master's degree in clinical psychology and psychology, and it was wonderful. It was blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. However, what I really want to do is dance. Huh. Why don't you go dance? It's difficult to say. Like one of those things. No, that's not a reality for anybody. Chase a career you've been dreaming about for a long time. Okay. The second you figure out what your dream career is, whatever, and you want to go chase, do it immediately. Don't go, yeah, you know what, I really want to be an actor, but first I want to go and get a sociology degree. You don't need a degree to be an actor. Go for it. You want to do something that you need a degree for? Go and get a degree in that. Chase your careers. But don't be an idiot. That Joe Biden thinks you're an idiot is, well, actually, if Joe Biden appeals to you, you probably are. So maybe he's onto something. What the hell do I know? Since we're talking about Joe Biden and student loans, I want to bring up, this isn't student loan clip, but I want to play you something from 2006. As you listen to Democrats, and as we move deeper into this election cycle, the Democrats don't have anything to run on. All they've got is to scare the hell out of it. Little Donald Trump will be, you think you got it bad now, Donald Trump? They're going to try to convince you you don't know how good you've got it. That's not going to work. And then they're going to go, you think it's bad now, wait till Donald Trump gets older. He'll make things worse. And they won't articulate how, because they all sort of employ the Rachel Maddow school of arguments. Oh, Donald Trump's crazy. Shake your head a little bit side to side, roll your eyes up and go, whoa, he's crazy. And it works. It works amongst unthinking leftist drones. But you've already got unthinking leftist drones. You need the people who go, it's $80 in the grill. I just went in. I wanted to make some hamburgers on the grill this weekend. It's freaking $80 to get out of there with burgers and buns and toppings and fixings and, you know, a couple of baked potatoes, whatever. And you're like, this is insane. And over there in the corner, there's Rachel Maddow shaking her head going, woo-hoo-hoo, Donald Trump would be worse. How? Does he come to your house and, like, kick you in the head? Does he put your hand on the grill? How would Donald Trump make this worse? They don't have an answer. So what they'll try to do is what Joe Biden has been doing. And it's a catchy slogan. Doesn't hold water, but it's a catchy slogan. And catchy slogans don't always have to hold water. You have to knock them down. It's, this ain't your father's Republican Party. You hear it all the time. He said it in the State of the Union address. This ain't your father's Republican Party. What he doesn't do is explain. These people are so extreme. These MAGA Republicans. They ain't your father's Republican Party. And the barking seals all clap, hoping to have a mackerel thrown at them or something. You're going, oh, yeah, this is great. How is it not their father? Ronald Reagan, pro-life. Republican Party, pro-life. Ronald Reagan articulate basically the same position that Donald Trump articulated yesterday in his abortion video. How is that? Okay, well, forget Ronald Reagan, pro-military. Donald Trump, pro-military. All right. Ronald Reagan loved America. Donald Trump loves America. Can't forget that. Ronald Reagan really enjoyed economic growth and people being able to take care of themselves and a rising tide lift all boats. Donald Trump, same thing. All these, by the way, are the exact opposite of what Democrats want. Let's see, Ronald Reagan projected U.S. strength abroad and wasn't afraid to speak his mind to world leaders, didn't want to play this kabuki theater sort of thing. Hey, Donald Trump, obviously, the exact same way. So how is it not your father's Republican Party? Now, I would say that one way, and perhaps the only way in which it is not your father's Republican Party is at least back in the Reagan administration, Republicans paid lip service to out-of-control government spending. So in that sense, sure. But that's a little bit like the pot calling the kettle black when that comes from Joe Biden. I highly doubt that is. Joe Biden is not waking up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night whining and complaining about how much Republican Congresses are spending. They don't. I mean, Joe Biden literally just goes and sets giant piles of money on fire. I think Hunter lights his crack pipe with $100 bills right from the Treasury. So other than that, I don't really know what he could be talking about. Republicans, they want to privatize. They want to abolish the Department of Education. Yeah, well, Ronald Reagan wanted to abolish the Department of Education. The Department of Education was only started in the Carter administration and has been a complete and total unmitigated disaster, aside from the fact that the Constitution does not in any way, shape, or form empower the federal government to have anything to do with education. So, yeah, again, it is kind of your father's Republican Party. The Democratic Party, on the other hand, when did they become in favor of genital mutilation and stripping parents of rights? They are the party of the PMRC. Remember the PMRC, the Parents Music Resource Council, little Tipper Gore up there testifying late 80s before Congress about the evils of rock and roll and heavy metal and rap. Oh, my goodness, it's just terrible. And somebody was up there playing it wasn't Twisted Sister, it was Dio or something. Some record backwards going, oh, my goodness, Ozzy Osbourne's trying to kill our kids. Suicide, man, do it. That was Democrats. Now, you know, Joe Biden will invite Lizzo wearing a tube of toothpaste and some dental floss to a state dinner. Like, oh, no, that's perfectly normal. It's absolutely normal. Abortion should be safe, legal, and rare to, please, let's put a sign outside so we can maybe catch up with McDonald's and the number of served at Planned Parenthood. Which side has changed? The party of the president that signed the Defense of Marriage. I think what you will of gay marriage, but let's just talk about changes. Not your father's Democratic Party. Bill Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act, campaigned on it in 1996. And now Joe Biden wants to marry like thruples on the lawn during Easter weekend at the White House. Little bit of a change. So when I saw this clip yesterday, I thought this is yet another shining example of how it is that the Democratic Party is not, in fact, your father's Democratic Party. And I'll tell you what's another a big indicator. When Joe Biden says this is not your father's Republican Party, shouldn't he be saying this is not your birthing person's? I guess your non-birthing person's, your impregnating person's Republican Party? Because the Democratic Party seems to have forgotten what a man is, what a woman is, and they tell you you can be whatever you are. You can be both. You can be neither. You can be all of them all at once. If you went back and you told Bill Clinton that, just 20 years ago, hell, just 10 years ago. He's like, I don't care what people say. I ain't making that mistake. Believe me, I know the difference. I know the difference. I see lots of real women out there, and I live with Hillary. So I'd see the difference on a daily basis. But when it comes to abortion, Joe Biden back in 2006, which wasn't all that long ago, 18 years, was singing a different tune. In fact, he sounds an awful lot like Donald Trump does now when talking about the prospect of overturning Roe v. Wade.
I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions. And they ought to be able to have a common ground and consensus as to do that. I think the vast majority of the American people think that can be done. But unfortunately, we're put in a position you either eliminate abortions under all circumstances or it's, quote, abortion on demand. The fact of the matter is I've never known of a woman having an abortion and say, by the way, I feel like having an abortion. It's always a tragic decision made, always a difficult decision.
Yeah, no, I don't know anybody who wants to do that. Nobody's proud about an abortion. Nobody's. And now what is the Democratic Party? Hey, shout your abortion. Remember that? Don't they have like a shout your abortion day? Hey, everybody, shout your abortion. Super proud. There's nothing to be ashamed of in having an abortion. In fact, you should be proud to have an abortion. Okay. That's something people who are ashamed try to convince themselves of. They're like, no. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You're alone in a room yelling into a mirror. What? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody does it. It's perfectly fine. Okay. Calm down. Put the scissors down. Stop cutting your hair. It's going to be okay. Let's get you some help. Do you notice that maybe the Democratic Party has changed a little bit, at least on their stance on abortion? There was the general consensus not that long ago that we would be working towards a colorblind society, one in which people were judged on what's those crazy words I'm thinking of? Oh, yes, on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And now is that the modern Democratic Party? Is it? You won't find, going back to Ronald Reagan, a time when Republicans obsessed about skin color and pandered and treated people differently. They just treated people like people. Jerks were treated like jerks. Nice people were treated like nice people. Democrats have changed a little bit on the subject. I mean, not really. They've changed their tactics. In fairness, the Democrats on this one, they were the party of segregation. They were the party of slavery. They're still the party of segregation. They still seem kind of pissed that they can't have slavery anymore. But they're definitely the part, they're sort of importing a whole bunch of people where they can at least get to the indentured servant stage. you know, substandard wages and exploitation. And then if people talk back, you're not going to be able to beat them or anything, but you can absolutely, you know, threaten to deport them or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. Democrats love that kind of power. But in general, one party has really dramatically changed over the last 20, 30, 40 years. And one party has not. It hasn't. But we are being, and this is where Republicans fail. Look, that clip I just played you is gold. It's also one of, I don't know, 10 million clips of Joe Biden. You've got to remember, Joe Biden has been in public life since 1972, right? He has been on every side of every issue. He is a raging, flaming, complete and total hypocrite on everything. I don't think he's flip-flopped. I think that a flip-flop is somebody who believed one thing and now they believe another. I don't believe Joe Biden ever believed anything. I believe Joe Biden looked at the wind and said, it's blowing this way, it's blowing that way. I don't care. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to go through with it. I'm going to shove my, I don't care. I'm going to sniff that girl's hair. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. He doesn't care. You'd have to care to genuinely change your position on things. And you would change your position only on a few things. That Joe Biden right there, in that abortion clip, you might believe is the devout Catholic they all insist that he is, right? Look, it's a tough issue. Nobody likes this. It's not a good thing. It should be rare. It should be whatever, blah, blah, blah. You could believe that that guy has given it some thought. The current position, no restrictions, none whatsoever. Let's just go to, all they want to do is ban abortion, all those Republicans, whereas I will codify Roe, and how about any restrictions on that? I believe it's up to a woman and her doctor. As every devout Catholic knows, that's exactly what the Pope advocates for, right? If the Republican Party and the Trump campaign can't take every single clip of Joe Biden, I mean, the American public knows that Joe Biden is a senile, doddering old fool. They kind of know where he's standing now on things. They don't like it. They also recognize the incompetence. But it's not enough just to beat him. It's not enough just to beat him. If Donald Trump wins in a squeaker, I'll take it. Right, I don't want Donald Trump to lose. But if Donald Trump wins in a squeaker, I don't care if you win by 1 or 1 million, my dad used to say. He still won. It goes down as a W. But to really drive the point home, to really have a chance to save America or make it easier to save the country, we need to destroy, decimate the Democratic Party. We need to really just wipe out Joe Biden. You need to run up the score. It needs to be 100-0. It needs to be 200-0. It doesn't matter. You need to go after their punts. You need to try and block their punts. You need to try and blitz every play. You need to try and run everything. But there's no taking a knee. There is nothing. You're up by 48 at halftime. You don't take a knee because you've got 30 seconds left to go to the half. You try and at least get a field goal in that thing because you've got to send the message. You've got to destroy them. Otherwise, they'll be back. If you win in a squeaker, it's great. You still win. I'll take it. But to get things done that need to be done, to undo the damage that these people have done over the last 3-4 years, and even before that in the Obama administration, to justify it, they have to be absolutely positively decimated. There's no two ways about it. Want to shift gears a little bit here. Where is that story? Where did it go? That's the wonderful thing. Oh, by the way, remember when Joe Biden testified for special counsel Robert Hur? That and then the report came out. Said, the guy's senile. The guy can't do this. If I prosecuted him, he'd just go up there and be a doddering old fool, sort of drooling on himself, and no jury would convict. That kind of thing. And the White House is like, how dare they? And Joe Biden, even in his speech, how dare he bring up the fact that my son died in this thing? Jill Biden sent 5 fundraising emails about how Robert Hur brought up the death of her stepson. You can call him stepson. She sort of just wiped out the boy's mother. But that's beside the point. And then it turns out that Joe Biden was the one who brought up he couldn't remember when his son died, couldn't remember when he was vice president, didn't seriously seem to know. Was I still vice president in 2009? Yeah, you just kind of just became president, vice president in 2009, Joe. Well, there was the transcript release that showed that Joe Biden, when he's expressing his indignation, my God, how dare this guy bring these things up, that it was, in fact, Joe who brought up the death of Bo. Well, the White House, Reuters is reporting, U.S. Department of Justice on Monday rebuffed demands by Republicans in the House of Representatives to hand over audio recordings of President Joe Biden's interviews with special counsel whose report questioning Biden's mental, his memory set off a political firestorm. Special counsel Robert Hur angered House Republicans by deciding not to pursue criminal charges against Biden for retaining classified records dating back to his time serving as vice president under Barack Obama and his time in the Senate. Reuters is lazy and trying to sugarcoat. He had documents dating back to the 70s, which means that he'd been stealing them for a long time and probably monetizing them, but what have you, whatever. The department has charged Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump for keeping classified documents after he left the White House. Assistant Attorney General Carlos Uretre said the department had already provided all the information sought in a congressional subpoena, including certain transcribed interviews from Herb's investigation. Quote, the committees have responded with escalation and threats of criminal contempt, Uretre wrote in a letter to the House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan and House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer. We urge the committee to avoid conflict rather than seek it. House Republicans have threatened to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt if the department does not hand over all the records they are seeking. Hur announced in February that he was declining to charge Biden for knowingly taking classified documents after leaving the vice presidency in 2017, sparking a political firestorm by noting in a report that the president had cooperated with the probe and that his status as a, quote, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory would make it difficult to convict. Well, they've decided not to hand over the record. Now, we were told by Joe Biden repeatedly. What do you say? People say you're too old. You're slightly older than when the earth cooled. What do you say to people who say you're too old? Watch me. Just watch me. Watch me. Okay. We're watching you. We see you tripping up the stairs. We see you doing the sort of weird old guy shuffle, unaware of where you are or how to exit a state. We're watching this. We would like to hear you, since you don't talk to anybody who isn't currently having their lips planted on your rear end, we'd have a chance to hear this discussion you had with the special counsel. No, we don't. I said, watch me, not listen to me. Don't do anything. They're blocking it because they're afraid that the Republicans, quote, might use it for political purposes, end quote. Yeah, you mean like the Democrats dramatically and desperately pursuing trying to get a Trump mugshot photo? When they finally got it, they thought, we got that SOB, we got the mugshot. And then Trump monetized it and sold it, made a fortune off of it before they had a chance to. He was quicker than they were. That kind of thing. They're afraid they're going to do that. Every little word, every little phrase, every single clip, they want cameras in every courtroom, they want nonstop this, that, and the other thing streaming of the, but we can't hear Joe Biden talk to his special counsel because Republicans might politicize it. That's just so terrible. Now, the American people might hear a doddering old man who can't remember when his son died, a doddering old man who can't remember when he was vice president of the United States, a doddering old man who can't remember how he got all these documents and how they ended up in three different places inside his own home and how they ended up in different offices around the country, particularly the ones that were right near where the Chinese government has offices, too. Wouldn't want that audio out there, would we? It's weird how this works. And of course, any attempt to get this information will be seen as playing politics. Republicans are using, they're wasting taxpayer money to try and get this thing for blah, blah, blah. Why won't they just do this and just do that? Why won't they do the will of the American people rather than trying to play politics with their positions in government? How many different subpoenas and investigations and demands for this, that, and the other thing happened in the Trump administration? Except the Trump administration actually complied. See, one of the differences between the Trump administration and the Biden administration, remember, Democrats said, there's a quid pro quo on a phone call with the new Ukrainian president. He wanted to use the government leverage for politics, or blah, blah, blah. Remember that? The basis for the first impeachment that the Democrats pushed through. What happened? Within a day, the Trump administration released a transcript of the call. Now, they naively thought that'd be enough, right? Here's the proof that what you're saying is a lie. But it was, see, for that to be effective, the people lying would have to not know that they were lying. They would have to be wrong, right? You were wrong. Here's the proof. But they knew they were lying. They didn't give a damn that they were lying. They were actively lying. That's kind of, you know, their shtick. That's what they do. So they wouldn't go, oh, well, gee, I guess we were wrong about that one. They kind of looked at the transcript and saw 500 words between the first half of the sentence they claimed and the second half of the sentence they claimed that when strung together were the quid pro quo. Like, oh, there's a chapter of a book in between those two things. Maybe it wasn't. No. They just said it doesn't. It just proves our case. And so when Adam Schiff reads the testimony in a congressional impeachment hearing, he omits those 500 words. He omits other words. Like, oh my God, he is taking things out of context. But no, there's no outrage. There's nothing. There's no fact checker to look into it. There's nothing. They're too busy. How do you type out a fact check when you've bloodied your hands applauding that which needs to be fact-checked? You can't. You're not going to ruin your computer. You're not insane. And now those very same people, we will not release this, and there won't be any deep Rachel Maddow monologues about how important it is that we get this information. Again, all of the information that could clear Joe Biden exists in a world that is completely and totally under the control of Joe Biden. It could exonerate him. It could damn him. The loans. Oh, no, the $200,000 that just come. It's just a coincidence that my brother got paid from China right before he gave me $200,000. I'd loaned him that money, $200,000. He was just paying it back. That's how it is. And a $50,000 from Hunter just so happens that it was, 10% for the big guy from money he'd just gotten from China. But it's a total coincidence. One has nothing to do with the other, not at all. What Joe could easily say, and here's the money from me going to them. The loan, right? The loan. For a loan to happen, you have to give them the money. If somebody pays me back a $200,000 loan, at some point, there's $200,000 going from me to them. Investigators have not seen that. The White House has not provided that. Same with the $50,000 to Hunter. No, nothing from the Biden administration, nothing from the Biden family, Biden Inc., nothing. They're just insisting this is a loan being repaid. Well, they could easily prove that it was a loan being repaid by showing that it was a loan, right? They haven't. They won't. I suspect there's a reason for it. Tara Reid accused the president of the United States of attempted rape, of raping her, really, by a definition of law, that she filed a complaint, that she told people in Joe Biden's office. Well, that record, if that happened, would be contained in Joe Biden's Senate papers. If it's not there, that puts a big hole in Tara Reid's case. Joe Biden's Senate papers, Senate records, are at the University of Delaware, donated by Joe, on condition that they not be opened for several years after he dies. They remain sealed until then. That is a provision that can only be waived, but undoubtedly and unquestioningly can be waived by Joe Biden himself. So if there is no record whatsoever in these papers of Tara Reid telling anybody or filing any complaint, telling anybody about the rape that Joe Biden perpetrated on her, that she claims Joe Biden perpetrated on her, you allow reporters to go through those papers and not find it, right? Wouldn't that be the way it is? Yet Joe Biden won't do that. Again, just watch me. We're watching, Joe. We're noticing that all of this information that you could use to exonerate yourself is being hidden by you. Makes it hard to just watch you. Don't you think? Seems a little weird. If you were so, in fact, outraged by the way that Robert Hur conducted himself in this interview with you, how dare he bring up the death of your son? Then let us hear the audio of him bringing up the death of your son. Release the audio. Release the tape. But he won't. It's weird. If you are not a doddering old man with a bad memory, you can't remember how you got this stuff, if you're not confused an awful lot when you're not on your meds, then let us hear the audio. Release the tapes. That he won't kind of tells you something. If I were accused of murder, the night of January 16th, Derek Hunter murdered three people in a home in Pittsburgh. Okay. Well, if I had receipts and all sorts of evidence and took pictures and everything that I was at the National Aquarium in Baltimore on the night of January the 16th, would I withhold that information from police? Screw you. You don't need to know what movie I went and saw. You don't need to know what concert I went to. You don't care. I'm not going to bother telling you which fish I care about. You go ahead. You try and make all your case all you want. I will refuse to exonerate myself. Well, they believe for whatever reason that I did it. Maybe I did a financial motive for killing those three. I'm somehow the beneficiary of all their life insurance policies. Three multimillionaires, and I just netted $1 billion in life insurance. And no, the first thing I do is, no, it's at the National Aquarium. You can check the security footage. Here's my tickets. Here's the receipt for my parking. You can ping my phone off of all the towers down there. They might still insist that maybe I paid a hitman or something like that, but they would not be able to prove that I was there because I was not there. I was someplace else. That would be the first thing I'd do. Like, what the hell? No, I did not do that. Cross me off your suspect list and then start hunting down for the real killers. Weirdly, Joe Biden has the exact opposite desire, instinct. I will not exonerate myself. Because somehow to exonerate myself beyond any question would be to incriminate myself or something, right? Wouldn't you want to make, if it was a political thing, and I said, you're having an affair with this prostitute at a hotel in Gettysburg on Thursday, you were there, were you not? And I'm like, nope, I was in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, here's proof. You've just torpedoed their attack and destroyed their credibility. Yet Joe Biden won't do that on any of these things. It's almost enough to make you think that maybe there's something to these allegations, isn't it? If only we had an enterprising media journalist who were at all interested in such things as, you know, journalism. But we don't, so Joe is safe. It's just the damnedest thing, man. If I can prove that I'm innocent of something, I'm going to prove that I'm innocent of something. Just going to. Anyway, let us move on to school choice. down in Louisiana, down in the bayou, it is it's becoming more and more of a reality across the country. What makes Louisiana different is this is universal school choice, and it got some Democrat support. It passed in the House down there in Louisiana this week with a super majority, including Democrats, which means that this is not only going to be the law of the land, but it's bipartisan. And this has to really irritate Democrats because they are desperate for money. They are desperate for union mobilization. You notice they used to be, when I was a kid, election day, you still had to go to school. Now they're shutting down schools. They're shutting down factories. Anywhere where there is a union shop, they'll shut it down on election day. And you go, why? Why do we have to do it? Well, people have to be able to vote, is what they say. We want to make sure that our members are able to vote. No, they want to mobilize that army. And they do. They mobilize that army. They make them election judges. They drive people around. They vote on behalf of people, I'm sure, in some places. They do any and everything that the Democratic Party needs because they are obedient servants to the Democratic Party. They are an appendage. They are down with the progressive cause. So when you see some Democrats going against what union leadership wants in any union, it's worthy of note. Down in Louisiana, there's a Democrat named Jason Hughes. He was on the floor of the House down there in Louisiana in just a very short clip. But it shows that some people on the left are recognizing. And you've seen a lot of people in the last few years switch parties. Not a ton, I mean, you know, enough high-profile state-level legislators who have switched parties. And it largely has to do with the education issue. Because the establishment on the left sees no problem. The school-to-prison pipeline I talk about all the time. It's the prison that's the problem, not the schools. That's manufacturing people that go straight to prison. It's the school-to-prison pipeline. We need to get rid of the prisons. So it's what, school to right on the streets pipeline? What are you hoping to accomplish there? How about you stop with the manufacturing of people who go to prison right away with the schools and you teach them how to read? Somebody learns how to read and write, the prospect of them going to prison drops exponentially. It's a true story. Look it up. But Democrats don't give a damn about that. All they really need to know is how to hunt for the D on the ballot. Show up to the polling place. Hell, their old teacher will give them a ride because they have the day off. And then look for the D. You check the box with the D, and then you can go away and not matter until the next election. Well, some D's are having enough of that. On the issue of school choice, here is Democratic Louisiana Representative Jason Hughes on the floor of the House.
As I watch children in poverty, trapped in failing schools, who can hardly read, I'd be damned if I will continue to defend the status quo. Too many of our children are dropping out. And then we wonder why we had to have a crime session. Because our students can hardly read.
He's had enough. He's pissed off, and justifiably so. The real story in Louisiana isn't that Democrats crossed the aisle in, you know, there's only six of them. But they crossed the aisle to work with Republicans to institute a program of universal school choice. The real issue down there is that more Democrats didn't. That's the real question. Why is it? What is it that the rest of the Democrats in the legislature in Louisiana didn't? Now, Republicans have enough votes that it doesn't matter, but it's still an important watershed moment. If there was a moment where a Democrat, you know, look, I support this, but I can't vote for it. It'll kill me with my constituents, or it'll kill me with the party, but I'm glad you're passing it. This did not need Republican votes to pass, to become law. It got Republican vote, or got Democrat votes. It didn't need Democrat votes. It got them. It didn't need them. Which means that the people who voted for it genuinely stuck their neck out with party leadership, didn't give a damn. They just went along with, said, you know what, this is the right thing to do. It's a novelty. It's a weird thing to think about when you think about politics. It's a weirder thing to think about when you think about Democrats in politics. But that is what it is. That's the world that we live in, that things might be getting bad enough in at least some areas where Democrats are looking at it and saying, I can't support this anymore. I can't remain silent. I can't do it. It'll be interesting to see if this guy gets reelected. It'll be interesting to see if the party then tries to ruin him if he gets any party support. I don't think he's going to get union support. But sometimes doing the right thing is the loneliest thing to do, but it's still the right thing to do. Now, lastly, I want to play something for you that is, you just heard a Louisiana Democrat making sense, saying he's had enough. Kids aren't learning, all right? How long do we have to put up with this crap? Kids aren't learning. Are we going to pretend that kids are learning because it's politically expedient? Because it's good for, no, can't do it anymore. At a certain point, most people will grow a conscience. We've yet to find it for a lot of them. Most of them have D's after their names, but some of them are coming around. They go, you know what? I can't just pretend that everything is all hunky-dory when things aren't hunky-dory. When we're graduating kids who can't read and can't do math, and we go, yes, congratulations. Vote Democrat. That's like voting for somebody who beat the hell out of you for your whole life. Why the hell would you vote for that person? Well, because you've trained them. You've whipped them. You've beaten them. You've trained them. Democrats barely change their tactics. They change their tactics, never their objectives, never their goals. Now we come to The View, which I don't like to inflict The View on anybody ever, but at the end of the show, if you've made it this far, I think you can tolerate it. The show is sort of building up to this point. It's hilarious. And it's the only time in my life that I believe I've ever thought in watching it. Now, Whoopi Goldberg is the closest thing. And it's not very close, but I'm just saying. The closest thing to a voice of reason in this clip that you're going to hear. There are all five of them there. A lot of times there's only four of them there. The other ones are off doing God knows what they do. I don't even know. But there's all five of them there. And the closest thing to a voice of reason is Whoopi Goldberg. She's not a voice of reason. She says stuff that's stupid because she has to be a political hack. She has to be a Democrat. She has to. She can't bring herself. She calls him that guy or 45. She will not say Donald Trump's name because she just won't. I don't get it. These leftists, it's weird. You know, you're denying a president. You must treat Joe Biden with respect. He's president of the United States. And then they go, but I will not look at Donald Trump. I will not say Donald Trump. I'll call him 45. I'll do this, that, and the other thing. And like, okay, but what about the respect that you're talking? It's different. He doesn't deserve respect. Okay. But anyway, she's the closest they come to a voice of reason on here. And these people are talking about the earthquake that happened up in New York. They're talking about the solar eclipse. And Sunny, I can't do it justice. I can't set it up. We'll talk about it afterwards because you have to hear it. Any setup is like, you're making this up. This isn't real. No human being said something that stupid. Yeah, in fact, a bunch of them did.
As I watch children in poverty, trapped in failing schools, who can hardly read, I'd be damned if I will continue to defend the status quo. Too many of our children are dropping out. And then we wonder why we had to have a crime session. Because our students can hardly read.
God does actually give you a warning. It's kind of the whole, you know, Old Testament thing. But other than that, Whoopi, Cicadas. How do you live to be 50, whatever the hell she is, and never heard the cicada? I've lived through two of the cicada swarms or whatever out here. I know there's a cicada. You see them every once in a while because there are cicadas year-round. There are different types of cicadas. They make that noise, the wee noise. How do you live a whole life and go, there's cicadas, there are bugs, and maybe this means climate change? Oh, you mean something that is obvious and predictable as the setting sun or the rising sun is somehow an indication of climate change? You can see the instincts of stupid people that when something is given to them, they just immediately default to whatever it is they've been Pavlovianly trained to buy into. Bugs are going to come out of the ground, well, a whole bunch of them. Well, that's probably climate change, right? The warming earth is going to, no, they do this every 17 years. Well, that's not what I read. What are you reading? If you make a complete ass out of yourself on national television like Sonny just did, wouldn't you then go, boy, I'm going to have to do a better job tomorrow. I'm going to have to know what I'm talking about. The earthquakes, climate change. Joy's like, because that happens underground. The eclipse. Well, with the eclipse and the earthquake, people are thinking it's the end of time. Yeah, because eclipses and earthquakes have never happened before. These are brand new things. Everybody, I thought, had an inner monologue. They think about what they say. If it's just a second before it comes out of their mouth, they go, here's a thought. I'm waiting for my, especially when you're having a conversation with somebody. Here, I'll wait for this. I'm gonna say this when they're done talking. And in that moment, your brain kind of goes, no, that's really stupid. Don't say that. If it's really stupid. Whatever that voice is in the heads of all five of those people, that voice has been bound and gagged and covered in duct tape and God knows what else, because it does not exist in these people. It doesn't, or they're deafened by the echo of the internal monologue. All right, that is enough. What a bunch of idiots. I swear to God, how in the hell do they function as a human? They're lucky that everything is a reflex, or they would just not, they would cease to exist. It's just so dumb. Cicada. Well, it's got to be climate change, or, you know, it could be nature. Earthquakes, got to be climate change. The eclipse, end times. These are the type of morons who, you know, when it got overcast or it rained, they thought they could dance it away or virgin sacrifice the weather into what they wanted. Oh, my God. So freaking stupid. But you're not. Hope you had fun today. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.